Come on, let's give the Lord a great hand praise. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. It is an honor. It is an honor to stand before you once again. I thank the Lord for the presence of God that I feel in this house. Amen. All this anointing in here. Amen. You're going to mess around. You're going to turn Cleveland upside down with all this anointing. All this presence of God that I feel in this house. Don't you feel it? Amen. I give honor to your special pastor. Amen. Man, he's a great man of God. And the reason why I call him a special pastor is because there's a special anointing that is attached to his life. Amen. I can feel the authority of the Holy Ghost that is on him. Amen. And the authority of the Holy Ghost will be filled in this house. And I am a firm believer that you can't do anything in the spirit without authority. Amen. You can't be in authority unless you're under authority. Amen. How many of you are grateful that God is giving you a pastor with authority? Amen. Hallelujah. Because there are some pastors out there, they don't have the authority to do nothing. Amen. Some of them, when you get sick, they send you to the doctor. When you got mind battles, they send you to the psychologist. When you got sin issue, they send you to a counselor. But there is something when you come in contact with a true man of God. We don't put you in contact with another man, but put you in contact with the one that created man. And if you're not pulling on the anointing, you're not submitting yourself to the authority of this pastor, 95% of your problem that's going on is connected to that. Amen, somebody. I ain't getting no hand claps. About three of you. Thank God for pastors that are after God's heart. Not after their heart. Not after your pocketbook. But after the heartbeat of God. Amen. We thank the Lord for his precious wife. You know, it is always wonderful to see pastors' wives standing with their husbands. Amen. Amen. I tell you that when there is that positioning of a good, godly woman, amen, when there is that positioning, that commitment, not just for the things of God, not just for the ministry, but for the call of God of being a wife, being a mother, it makes what a preacher does at church a lot easier when you can do what you're supposed to do at home. Amen? The Bible says that a bishop deals with his office and says that he must be blameless, the husband of one wife, having his house in subjection to all gravity. It talks about that. But it doesn't give too much feedback about his wife. And I'm telling every person in this room, because this church is like a little Antioch. And there are many of you that are going to be sent forth out of here. There's a lot of ministries that lay within the womb of this church. And some of you may be, somebody that you're sitting next to might be the next one. I'm telling you, the latter end is going to be greater than the beginning. Hallelujah. I heard the Lord say, tell them that some of the storms and some of the pain that they are enduring right now is connected to what's being birthed in the womb of this church. There is nothing that comes forth without travail. So we thank the Lord. So all you ladies out there, some of them want to be preacher's wives. I'm telling you, you're going to be a good preacher's wife. You want to make sure that you are a good wife and be a good mom. But if you can be a great mom and you can focus on being a great wife, what you do at church will make the difference. What you do on the mission field will make the difference. What you do if you're an evangelist wife, make the difference. Amen? Amen. Give honor to my friend, Pastor Roberts over here. Amen? Amen. I give honor to him and his lovely wife and his lovely daughter. Amen. I give honor to them. We were with them a few weeks ago. And the amazing thing is I remember preaching at that church years ago. And I had to get out of there real fast because there was a blizzard coming. And the pastor told me, he said back then, he said, if you don't get out of here, you're not going to make it to your next revival. I literally have the drive what seemed like 25 to 35 miles an hour from here to Lincolnster, Pennsylvania. Yeah, I never came back. It seems like every time someone would contact me from Ohio, it would be in the wintertime. Amen. But I thank the Lord. They are doing such a tremendous job. There is something that happens when you're connected. I was talking to them earlier in their church about being together and being connected and being one. There's something that happens when we're one. You know, we have no problem with being one Lord. There's no problem with being one faith and one baptism. But if the enemy could ever get a hold of us and divide us, you can have all the oneness theology in the world, and you can recognize that there's only one Lord and one faith and one baptism, and you can defend the truth. But it's going to be challenging to defend the kingdom of God if we're divided. Turn to someone and say, let us be one. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your presence that we fill in this house. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the glory of God that is in this room. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, let's talk to him. I know some of you tired. This is my third service. I'm really tired. Come on. Hallelujah. Father, I worship you, God. I bless your name, Lord. Come on, somebody lift him up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, how bad do you want it? I need some more mic. Hallelujah. That's perfect. Leave it like that, all right? Hallelujah. Oh. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Sweet presence of the Lord. Sweet presence of the Lord. The book of Genesis, chapter 1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God divided the light from darkness. God called the darkness, called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. I want to talk to you tonight about a visitation from the Lord. I believe that God is visiting this church. And I believe that God is visiting your homes. I believe that there's a divine visitation that is from the Lord. Amen? Amen. Put your hands together and worship him one more time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name, God. Mighty is your name, God. Great is your name, God. How excellent is your name, God. Hallelujah. Amen. You can be seated. The Bible says, in the beginning, I am tired, church. Stretch your hands towards the preacher. And see, just pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. It's not my age, I just done got fat. Bind that fat devil. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Like I've said before, I am under the persuasion that in between God creating the heavens, in between God creating the earth, I believe the war that we see recorded that is in the book of Revelation and what God talked about in the book of Isaiah and what Jesus spoke about when he beheld Satan as lightning before the face of the, casting him before the face of the earth. I believe the conflict that went on happened sometime between God creating heaven and God creating earth. And we have to understand that when God does something, the Bible lets us know that he does it with a purpose. Like the preacher got up and spoke earlier. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We understand that the same Word, praise the Lord, is the one that created everything that you see and that you don't see. Jesus said that the words that I speak, he said, they are spirit, and he said they are life. Basically implying that they are inseparable. If you're going to walk with God, you can't walk with him without the Spirit. And if you're going to walk with God, you're not going to walk with him without the Word of God. There are some people that have the Spirit of God, but reject the Word of God. And then there are those that have the Word of God, but then reject the Spirit of God. But can I tell you that things don't transform without the presence of a Spirit? And things don't transform without the presence of God's Word. The Bible says that God speaks, and somewhere there's a creation of heaven. We understand that heaven is to where the Lord's throne abides. We understand that during that time period that there was a conflict that went on, and in between the midst of that conflict, God had to get rid of Lucifer. And as he removed Lucifer from the presence of heaven, the Bible said that he took a third of the angels with him. Now, it is believed by many that the reason why Lucifer was successful in reaching a third of the angels was because those were the angels that he had authority with. You have to understand, praise the Lord, that when people that are in authority refuse to submit themselves to the direction of God, it is amazing what kind of corrupt influence they have over people that are under them. And the Bible lets us know that when the Lord dealt with Satan, he cast him before the face of the earth. I do not believe that at that time, before that, that darkness was there. I believe that because Satan desired to no longer submit himself to the Word of God, when iniquity was found in his heart, when the Lord decided that he was going to remove him from the presence of heaven, I believe it was then that the world or the earth became dark. Now, I don't know what happened, and I don't know what it looked like before, but the Bible declares that when we get to this scripture, it says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. I don't believe that the earth, praise the Lord, when God created the earth, I don't believe that there was something there to work with. I believe that there was something, I don't believe that there was anything there to work with, except for when we get to this scripture, where we see that there is some great catastrophe, some kind of devastation. Something has occurred. And many of us in this room, we might not necessarily know the exact details of what went on, how long this earth had been in this current state or in this condition. But if you sit back and you look at what Moses wrote in the scripture, it is evident that there was something that had went on that was terrible. The Bible says the earth is without form. And he said, the earth is void. And he said, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And many of us in this room, praise God, many of us right now, when we sit back and we look at the earth now, it is very challenging for us to believe or try to not believe, but it's difficult for us to imagine the earth in a state like that. Why? Because every time you wake up in the morning, there is sunshine. There's a cloud that's in the sky. There are birds that are chirping. And regardless of what kind of day you are living in, regardless on what kind of bad news you get, regardless on what you lose, or regardless on what you endured the night before, when you wake up in the morning, you can rest assured that there's going to be something moving in the sky. You can rest assured that there's going to be the smell of dew, the smell of something. You're going to hear something in the air. You're going to hear a sound move across the earth. Maybe if you live by the water, you will hear the ocean or the waters moving when you wake up in the morning. But can I tell you, praise God, that many of us in this room that may have a challenge in trying to imagine what the earth's condition was like with our own eyes. Can I tell you that many of us, praise the Lord, might not be able to imagine that kind of condition. But can I tell you that many of us, if we're honest with ourselves, we can identify ourselves with the condition of this earth when the Lord found us. You understand, the Bible declares it in this same chapter, in the second verse, the Bible says, and it said that God, and after the earth was in this dire condition, the Bible says, and then the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Church, tonight, I want to tell every person in this room that right now you may look devastated. You may look like maybe your world is dark. You may look like maybe your world is void. But can I tell you, when the Spirit of God moves, something has to happen. Hallelujah. You got to understand, praise the Lord, that something has to shift. Something has to change. And you got to understand that there are people, praise the Lord, that say, Brother Hurt, I look void right now. Or Brother Hurt, I feel dark right now. Maybe there's somebody in this room that you say that I feel like my whole world has collapsed. It seems like I'm right in the middle of the devil's workshop. You gotta understand that even the person that is sitting next to you at one time was in this condition. Can I tell you that many of us do not always reflect where we came from? Some of us do not look like the stuff that we've been through. Some of us don't look like the fire that we were just in. Some of us, praise the Lord, it was by the grace and by the mercies of God that you weren't even consumed. Can I tell somebody in this room tonight that God's hand is on you? Can I tell somebody in this room tonight that God's hand is here to deliver you? Can I tell somebody in this room tonight, if God has his way with you, you're going to walk out of this room a new creature. You're going to walk out of this room a new man. You're going to walk out of this room a new woman. You're going to walk out of this room a new child. You have to understand, the Bible lets us know, praise God, that when the Lord showed up, the earth was in a terrible condition. And can I tell you that sometimes we may not be able to necessarily put in the words what we see, but it is evident that something has gone on. And I've come to tell you, praise the Lord, that sometimes there are people that walk around and they try to hide where they have been. They try to hide. They put on the mask. They put on the visage. They put on this look, praise the Lord, like everything is fine. You know, we've been taught that. We've been taught that if something's going on, if somebody asks you how you doing, you don't tell them all your problems. You just say, oh, I'm doing fine. If somebody comes to your house, praise the Lord, and they ask you some questions about what's going on in your life, you're taught to give them a short answer and act like everything is good. But can I tell you, church, that sometimes it is very evident that there's something going on. There's something very evident that there's something going on. When a person in the presence of God is in the room, but a person would rather talk to their neighbor than to engage the Spirit of God. There's something, praise the Lord, that is going on. There is some form of evidence that there is some form of calamity that has happened when a child, praise the Lord, gets nervous every time he's in the presence of a male, or every time she's in the presence of a male adult. Can I tell somebody in this room that there are people, praise the Lord, that every time they go over to a friend's, over to a neighbor's house or a family member's house, their children that begin to cry. Why? Because something has happened. Can I tell somebody in this world, in this room right now, that we're looking at a world, we're looking at an earth at this moment that something has happened. Something has created calamity. Something has created devastation. And you got to understand that some of us, the enemy wants us to just exist within the devastation that we're in. We've been taught, praise the Lord, to not have any hope. We've been taught, praise the Lord, just to live with your current predicament, just to live in your current problem. This is just my state. This is just the place that God has called me to. Can I tell you, praise the Lord, that God has a purpose that is greater than your past and greater than your current circumstance. Hallelujah. You got to understand, praise God, that you can sit back and there are people right now. You can only imagine the earth is sitting there and it appears to be hopeless. Why? Because you got to understand that faith comes by hearing, hearing of the word of God. I don't want that scripture, but the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we understand that faith, in order for faith and hope to be there, there has to be the presence of a word. Something has to happen. So the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and by hearing of the word of God. You got to understand, praise the Lord, that when the word is spoken, faith is activated. When the word is spoken and you hear the word, faith is activated. And I've come to tell somebody in this room that what's going to get you out of your situation is your ability to hear the word of God. That's why you need to turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't talk to me no more. Why? Because I've got some things that are going on in my life. There are people right now, praise the Lord, they got a smile on their face, but they've been molested at home. They got a smile on their face, praise the Lord, but they don't know who their daddy is and ain't seen their mama. They got a smile on their face, praise the Lord, but they don't realize that they feel like their life is not going anywhere. Where can I tell you, church, that somebody in this room is going to get a hold of God? Why? Because when you begin to hear the voice of God, something begins to shift around you. But God said, I can't change what's outside of you unless you let me change something that's on the inside of you. So what happens is God, praise the Lord, is there and God's got a plan. But you got to understand that the Lord has not prepared the earth. He has not spoken to the earth and said, earth, I'm going to come back to you in about 45 days and I'm getting ready to change some things. You got to understand that this world, this earth is just sitting there. It's like it's in limbo. Is there anybody in this room that ever felt like after something devastating happened or something catastrophic happened in your life, it's like God didn't even show up? It's like you're just hanging in the midst of the balance. It just seems like you're far away from God. It seems like you have no value. It seems like you have no hope. Praise the Lord, what you used to have, you don't have no more. Praise the Lord, when you look at what everybody else has got, it's like God is far from you. You know you did not get here by yourself. You know that you did not arrive to this place by yourself. You know, praise the Lord, that there was something that was supposed to be greater, but then all of a sudden the devil came into your world. And when the devil came into your world, your whole world became dark, and now your world is full of darkness, and now it feels like there's a void in your life. There's somebody in this room right now. Praise the Lord. The Bible says the earth is without form and void. There's somebody in this room that says, Brother Hurt, I feel like I have no definition to me. I feel like I have no calmness to me. I feel like my world, my heart,
heart is a void. I feel like there's a hole that's there. I feel like that I'm just sitting here, just some big rock with a bunch of water running around. Praise the Lord. But I feel like that I am not going anywhere. I don't see any light. I don't see anything growing. You gotta understand that the Bible said that the world was void and the world was dark. I've come to tell somebody in this room right now, you may feel like it's your life is full of darkness right now. Come on, I know there's some people, praise the Lord, you've been taught to come to church and have the Pentecostal smile and come and make sure that you do yourself up real good. Some of us look better on the outside than we do on the inside. Some of us invest more on the outside so people don't see the things that are going on the inside. But can I tell you, my friend, you don't have to walk around and act like you've got hope. You don't have to walk around any longer and act like everything's together. You don't have to walk around and act like, praise the Lord, that everything is all right. I've come to tell you that the King is in this building. The Maymaker, the Waymaker is in this building. The Deliverer is in this building right now. Hallelujah. So the Bible declares that when the Lord decides to move all of a sudden, you got to understand the earth is just in limbo. And then next thing you know, one day God decides in the midst of time or in the midst of eternity, he says, what I'm getting ready to do is I'm getting ready to go down and I'm going to move upon the face of the waters. Can I tell you, church, that when God desires to move, something is going to happen. It's going to be something that's going to shake, church. The Bible lets us know that as God begins to come down, he did not let the world know what he was getting ready to do. There are people right now, you say, preacher, I have not heard anything from God. Preacher, I have not heard God speak to me in a long time. Or preacher, I have not heard anything from the Lord. The Lord doesn't speak to me like he speaks to you. The Lord isn't talking to me like he's talking to them. You can only imagine, praise the Lord, the earth is looking like, where is God? You can look up and see the heavens, but you can't see God. It's like there is no activity. It's like you're just sitting there. It's like you're in a dark place. It's like you're just in limbo. It's if you have no purpose. But the Bible declares in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under the heaven. Can I tell you, church, that if it was a plan of God for you to be destroyed, my friend, you would have been destroyed. God is not keeping you around just for you to dwell in darkness. God's not keeping you around just for you to dwell in a dark place. But God's keeping you around because he's going to restore you. He's going to deliver you. He's going to break the chains off of you. He's going to come and he's going to see about you. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Somebody needs to get excited. Because when I sit back and when I think about this, the Bible declares that all of a sudden God comes down, and the Bible says that in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of without form, in the midst of the void, God moves anyway. Can I tell you, church, the move of God that he is going to do in your life, and the move of God that he is going to do over this dark city, is not because of the pedigree, or because of the gold or the silver that he sees in this city. Can I tell you that what God is going to do, he's going to do it because of his sovereignty. He's going to do it because of his glory. He's going to do it because of his love for you. He's going to do it for his glory. And can I tell you, the church, at the latter end is going to be greater than the beginning. What do you mean, Brother Hurd? You can bury your past because God's getting ready ready to marry you to your future. Can I tell somebody in this room that all of a sudden the Bible declares, and the Spirit of God moved. I thank God for the Spirit that moves. I thank God for making sure that regardless of whatever state you're in, His Spirit knows how to gain access to you. You may feel like you're in a dark place. You may feel like you're in a lonely place. You may feel like you're in a void place. But can I tell you that God has your position. God knows exactly where you're at. He is right on your tail. As a matter of fact, He is a very present help. Somebody in this room, praise God, is getting ready to resurrect. What do you mean, Brother Hurt? You gotta understand, praise the Lord, that many of us in this room would testify and say that, man, I was on the verge of killing myself, but all of a sudden I felt the move of God's Spirit. Can I tell you, church, that the move of God's Spirit will point you in the direction that God is getting ready to do something. I've come to tell you, church, that if you can feel the presence of God, if you can identify, or somebody in this room can identify that God is in this place, I've come to tell you that God does not show up without releasing a word. Can I tell you, praise the Lord, that God moved on the face of the waters. Now you're going to understand, praise the Lord, that it's not dealing with just a geographical move. Why? Because God, praise the Lord, he fills all, he's in all, and he's through all. He fills all space. God, praise the Lord, is everywhere at one time. As a matter of fact, not only does God occupy all places, but God occupies all time. Why? Because he is the beginning and he is the end. He fulfills everything that is in between, and he's standing in the beginning while standing in the end. Why? Because God is not a God that is measured by time, but our God is eternal, who spoke time into existence. What do you mean, Brother Hurt? You gotta understand, praise the Lord, that when God decided that he was going to move, praise the Lord, there was nothing that could stop him. There's somebody in this room, you say, preacher, I'm in a world right now. I'm in a whirlwind right now. My world is turned upside down right now. Can I tell you, my friend, that God knows exactly where you're at. God knows exactly what to do. God knows exactly where to move. Can I tell you that what has occurred in your life, you might not have had any plan for it. You might not have seen it on your radar. But can I tell you that the enemy's access to your life will not interrupt what God has planned for your life. You gotta understand. Hallelujah. You got to understand that David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Can I tell somebody in this room, you might be dealing with a little bit of depression on the inside of you, but if you can take your eyes off of the depression and get your eyes upon the Spirit, can I tell you that His Spirit is a liberating Spirit? His Spirit is a rejuvenating Spirit. His Spirit is a resurrecting Spirit. Is there somebody in this room, praise the Lord, that wants to be resurrected? Is there somebody in this room that wants to be liberated? Is there somebody in this room that wants to be free? I'm talking about the Bible declares, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I've come to tell you that when the Spirit of God shows up, something's going to happen. I can feel His Spirit in this house. I can feel His presence in this house. I can feel His power in this house. The Bible declares that God's Spirit moved on the face of the waters. And when His Spirit moved on the face of the waters, you got to understand, church, that if waters aren't moving, praise the Lord, that they're stagnated. And when they're stagnated, it's dead. Can I tell you, church, that the Lord did not get permission from the earth? Praise praise the Lord to move on this waters. But when God's spirit moved on the waters, it's like he's resuscitated and giving life back to an earth that's dead. Can I tell you, church, that God's spirit is getting ready to move on your family. That God's spirit's getting ready to move on your church. God's spirit's getting ready to move on your ministry. God's spirit's getting ready to move on your city. I've come to tell you, church, you got to understand, praise the Lord, that when you begin to deal with water, they say that everything that is in this world survives off of water. You got to understand, if the water is gone, everything would die. That's why the Bible declares that when you see the new heaven and you see the new earth, there won't be any sunshine over there, and there won't be no water over there. Why? Because the Lord is the living water, and the Lord is that light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Oh God, you gotta understand, church, that all of a sudden the Bible lets us know that God moves on the water. What happens when he moves? There's a resuscitation that takes place within the bosom of the earth. You gotta understand, church, the Bible declares, he said, I will be in you a well of living water springing up into everlasting life. Somebody in this room, you say, Brother Hurt, I feel like my mind is parched. I feel like my soul is parched. I feel like my family is parched. I feel like my purpose is parched. My friend, when the Spirit of God shows up, there's a flow. There's a flow. And I feel the flow of the anointing. I feel the flow of that living water. The living water's in this house. The living water's in this room. The living water's in this building. And he's going to restore. You gotta understand, church, that when God shows up, somebody said he shows out. The Bible said, and then God said, what do you mean? You gotta understand that the world is hearing God talk again. Can I tell somebody in this room that when God is talking, everybody should be listening? Why? Because I'm going through something and I can't come out of it unless the Lord talks to me. Why do I go to church Sunday after Sunday? That's where I hear the Lord speak to me. Why am I there on Bible class night? Because I need the Lord to talk to me. Why am I submitted to a preacher? And why am I submitted to authority? Because the Lord speaks to me through the authority that I'm submitted to. I cannot change without a word from God. I cannot change without deliverance from the Lord. I cannot be moved without a word from God. You can understand that the Spirit of God can move on you and you can feel the presence of God. But my friend, if God don't talk to you, you will just feel his presence but won't see a change that comes by his presence. You gotta understand that true change can only happen by the word of God. I'm not talking about the change that you bring by yourself. You gotta understand, praise the Lord, that when something begins to die because it disobeyed the word of God, there is a decay that happens. There is a destruction that happens. There's rigor mortis that begins to sit in. It begins to happen. And that change is something that occurs because something has died. Can I tell you, church, that God said to some of you that something has died on the inside of you. He said, but I've come that I might revive that which is died, and the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. Oh, somebody in this room needs to hear me. He said, and God said, let there be light. Church, sometime you got to quit looking at the darkness and let the light be. What do you mean? You got to understand that when you've been dwelling in darkness, if light is going to happen, you got to let it happen. What do you mean? God said, let there be light. Sometimes, church, you got to let stuff happen. You got to let God move. You got to let God speak into your life. If God says, let you be healed, my friend, you got to let it happen. When God said, let you be delivered, my friend, you got to let it happen. When God said, let the dry ground appear, you got to get out of the way and let him move. Somebody in this house? Is there somebody that's desperate? Is there somebody that's tired of being sick and tired? Is there somebody that will get a hold of God and say, Lord, I am not comfortable in the predicament that I'm in. I'm not comfortable in the situation that I'm in. My world is dark. I need to let the light shine on me. Come on, somebody. You need to let the light from heaven begin to shine on you. Oh. Oh. God is trying to open up your eyes. God is trying to open up your eyes. But he can't open up your eyes until you open up your ears and let it be. What do you mean, God? My world is confused. He said, but let there be light. You got to sometimes say, you know what? I'm going to quit allowing the past to be and let what the Lord said be. You got to understand, church, that God is getting ready to do some things that your eyes have never seen before. God's getting ready to do some things that your ears have never heard before. Get your eyes out of your past and get your ears upon the Lord. I hear a sound of an abundance of rain. Somebody has got to let it be. Because when you begin to let the light shine, he said, and God said, let there be light. And he said, and there was light. Church, when God shows up and God starts speaking, I've come to tell you that a word from God can separate you from millenniums in the past. One word from God can separate you from darkness to light. One word from God can separate you from a void place into a fruitful place. One word from God can separate you from yesterday into your tomorrow. Some of you have been existing in a place called no place, but when God's word shows up, he sends you into yesterday, takes you out of yesterday into your tomorrow. I've come to tell somebody in this house that God said it's time to get a hold of him. It's time to let what he has spoken in your life come to pass. I know you've been injured, but be healed anyway. I know you've been wounded, but be delivered anyway. I know you've been raped, but be whole anyway. I know the devil tried to kill you, but live anyway. I've come to tell you that the word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's sharp than any two-edged sword. Somebody needs to give them praise right now for what's getting ready to be. You've been crying over what's been, but somebody needs to rejoice over what's getting ready to be. Hallelujah. He's moving in here right now. Somebody got to let it be. Somebody needs to let what God spoke out already begin to sink in right now all over this room. I want you to lift your hands. Why? Because we can't move to the second day if we won't receive in our heart what he's spoken on the first day. Somebody needs to let the darkness go and let the light appear. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. Come on, somebody. Somebody's got to let the past go and let the future be. Come on, somebody's got to let the anger go and let the future get a hold of you. Come on, somebody got to let the bitterness go and let the deliverer get a hold of you. Somebody got to let that grudge go and let the healing get a hold of you. I'm tired of letting the past be. It's time to get behind me and get in front of the move of God. Come on, you got to get it behind you. Come on, somebody in this room. He said, stop reaching in your pocket and say, I can't take this with me. I can't take that with me. I'm getting a hold, getting rid of this weight. I'm getting rid of this stronghold. I'm getting rid of this confusion. I'm getting rid of this deception. I'm getting rid of this stuff. I'm getting it behind. Oh, yeah. Oh. That's it. Get it behind you. Gonna let it be. And he said, and God said, it was good. Do you understand? Right after something bad happened, God said, I can make something good happen if you let it be. Let it go and get it behind you and let what God's getting ready to happen be. And God said, I'm going to do a new thing. I'm going to do a good thing. And the latter end is going to be greater than the beginning. Come on, somebody needs to shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Somebody needs to shout unto God with a voice of triumph. What do you mean? Somebody in this room, you're feeling sorry for yourself. Can I tell you that that's not going to get the attention of God? You feeling sorry for yourself. It's not going to get you out of your predicament. You receiving what the Lord has done and submitting yourself to what the Lord is speaking. That's what's going to do it. God's not going to alter his plan to accommodate your feelings. God's not going to to accommodate your circumstance. God's not going to accommodate his plan to accommodate how you feel in your emotions. You got to get it behind you. You got to say, I can't live like this, and I for sure ain't going to die like this. I already died once. I'm not going to die twice. It killed me the first time. It's not going to kill me the second time. I'm getting ready to come out of this grave. I'm getting ready to come out of this tomb. I'm getting ready to come forth. Lift your head. Come on. Oh, yeah, I feel the Holy Ghost. Come on, God, speak it to some of the spirits of men right now in this room. Oh, yeah. Come on. Come on, I feel them moving. Let them move on that well of living water. Let them move until you feel that well begin to spring up. Oh! Come on. Let them move until there's a springing from the well. Let them move until there's a springing from the well. Let them move until there's a springing from that well. Come on. Come on, I'm going to let them get a hold of me. I'm going to let them do it this time. I'm going to let them move this time. I'm going to let you have your way this time. I'm going to let you restore me this time. I'm going to let you heal me this time. I'm going to let you change me this time. I'm going to let you take the addiction out of me this time. Because whatever he took out of the day, he replaced it with something else. Come on. Come on. Oh, yeah, that's it. Come on. God's doing some healing right now. Come on. Come on in the name of Jesus. Come on. God's doing some transformation on somebody. Come on, God is opening up somebody's eyes right now. Somebody is having the darkness divided. Breathe on me, God. Breathe on me. Breathe on me. Come on, fathers. Let them breathe on you. Come on, husbands. Let them breathe on you. Come on. Let them breathe on you. Let the wind of the Holy Ghost, let the Spirit of God move on your waters. Come on. Come on, he's trying to get into that bosom. He's trying to get into that well. He wants to move on that well, man. Come on, men. Come on, young men. Come on, young boys. Come on. Let them move on your bosom. Let them move within your womb. Come on, let them move on you. Let them move on that well until there's a springing, until there's a connection, until you feel your soul resuscitated, until you feel a restoration get a hold of your spirit, until you feel the fire of the Holy Ghost move on you again. Come on. Come on, ladies. I want you to let them get a hold of you. Come on, men. I want you to keep going. Come on, ladies. I want you to let the wind of the Holy Ghost get a hold of you. I want you to let them move on your waters. Come on, I want you to move, let them move until there's something that springs, until there's a connection between earth and heaven, between heaven and earth, until there's something that manifests. Come on, in the name of Jesus, let a move on you right now. Come on, I need every mother, I need every wife, I need every sister, I need every daughter, I need every son, I need every brother, I need every husband, I need every father to let the Holy Ghost begin to move on you tonight. Begin to move within your soul, begin to move within your belly, begin to move until there's a troubling of the water, until something begins to be revived, until something, he's giving you a refreshing, he's giving you a refreshing, there is a refreshing of the Holy Ghost is hitting this place, there's a refreshing of the Holy Ghost is hitting this place, there is a visitation of the Lord that is moving in this house. Oh, come on. Come on, God said you're not going to get nowhere. Come on, you're going to have to let that bitterness go. Come on. That means God said I saw through your fiction. Come on. Come on, God said I saw through your fiction. Come on. He's the God that searches and tries the reins of your heart. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody needs to let it go. Come on, you gotta let it go. Come on, what your mama did to you, you gotta let it go. The repercussions of what your daddy did to you, you gotta let it go. What your daddy and your grandpa did to you, your uncles did to you, you gotta let it go. The person that killed your husband, you gotta let it go. Come on. Come on. Get it behind you. Get it behind you. Come on, so cola bahaya. Come on, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. I just can't move too fast. Oh, I'm not going to just move beyond that, because some of us, praise the Lord, we're comfortable where we're at. We're comfortable. Praise the Lord. We would rather hold on to the past than to grab hold to the future. We would rather sacrifice the future to embrace our emotions in our past. But God said, let it go. Come on, let it go and be healed. Come on, let it go and be free. Come on, let it go and be delivered. Come on, let it go, let it go, let it go. Come on, if you gotta come to this altar, if you gotta bring somebody to this altar, come on, I want you to come. But whatever you gotta do, you gotta let it go. If you're fighting, if you're worn on the inside, and you having a hard time letting this thing go, come on, get up and throw yourself upon this altar. Throw yourself on this altar. Come on, sometime you need help. Sometimes you need a little bit of assistance, but throw yourself upon the altar. Throw yourself upon the altar. He's going to break the chain. He's going to break the addiction. He's going to break the stronghold. He's going to break the confusion. He's going to break the anger. Come on, in the name of Jesus, he is going to remove the darkness and give you light. Come on. Come on. At one time, it was like you always dwelled in darkness. But now God separates it. And he said, now when there's darkness, it will only be by a season. He said, darkness will not rule forever. He said, but now on, he said, darkness will only operate within a season in your life. Come on, somebody has got to let it go. You might not have deserved what happened, but you got to let it go. You might have not deserved what you went through, what you've been through, but you gotta let it go. 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 Come on, I'm telling you, the deliverance in this house. Come on, the visitation of the Lord is in this room. The chain breakers in this room. Come on, pay attention. There are people in the pew right now. Don't be dismayed by their faces. Come on, God is getting ready to visit them. Come on, God is getting ready. My name is so called my mind. Riala Makandela Makaya. Come on. Come on, you gotta let it go. Come on, let it go. Get it behind you. Get it out of your mind. And get it behind you. If you get it behind you, it won't be in your future. If you get it behind you, it won't be in your children. If you get it behind you, it won't be in your grandchildren. You gotta get it out of your life. You gotta get it out of your mind. You gotta get it behind you. You gotta say, get thee behind. Behind me, Satan. I don't want this no more. I don't want to live like this anymore. I don't want to dwell like this anymore. Break the chains off of my life. Come on. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on, there's a young girl right there in the front row, second row. Come on, somebody go over there and pray with her. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on, there's a young lady back there on the fifth row. Somebody go pray with her. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on, baby, come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on, we are transitioning. The Lord is moving on you. The Lord is moving on your family. The Lord is visiting you. When he comes for a visit, there's a transformation. When he comes for a visit, there is a manifestation. When he comes for a visit, nothing can stay the same. There's a word from the Lord. There is a word from the Lord. There is a word from the Lord. Come on. Let it go. Let it go. I'm letting it all go. I'm letting it all go. Shikalabahaya. I'm getting rid of it. I'm getting rid of it. I'm detaching myself from it tonight. I'm getting it behind me. Out of my mind. Out of my family. Out of my home. Out of my heart. Out of my life. Get behind me. Get behind me. Get behind me. Come on. Come on. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. You gotta let it go. And let what God says be. Let it all go. And let what God says be. The latter is greater than your beginning.